Okay, we were at the bottom of page 12 in the top numbers.
Yes.
And, no, excuse me, not page 12, page 14.
I was going to say, we're making progress.
Das, yeah, going backwards, yes. Das is where we're up to. The Alter Rebbe explained from the bottom of the previous page what he refers to as Seichel giving birth to emotions. And we know that there are three emotions, Chochmah, Bina, and Das. Mm. Now, generally, according to the Kabbalah, if you look at most Kabbalistic texts, it counts the first three spheres as Kechab, Keser, Chochmah, Bina. And we know that we have this thing called Chabad, which is Chochmah, Bina, Das.
Yes.
And there is the expression that when Keser is counted, we don't count Das, and when Das is counted, we don't count Keser.
Right.
Why not? Why can't we call it Kechabad? Is because we're stuck. Because there's an expression from, I think it's for Yetzirah, that there are Eser Sfiris, maybe say for Boyer. There are Eser Sfiris, there are 10 Sfiris. So that's where we're stuck. Given 10 spheres. Now you got to go figure out what they are. So it happens that we have 11. Okay, so when you draw your little diagrams, one of them is going to have to be dotted. Either Keser is going to have to be dotted like it's the phantom, mm-hmm. or Das is going to have to be. Now, what would be the parameters for doing such? Because if you're calling it Kechab, Keser Chochmah Bina, the emphasis there is on Keser. Keser crown, Keser rotzing, the will.
Right.
Will and desire. The Alter Rebbe does not count Keser. Even though he's basing a lot of his stuff on what it says in Arizal Kabbalah, the Alter Rebbe does not count Keser, but counts Das. Mm. Because the purpose of Sefer Shel Beinoni is to draw things into Pnimius. Keser, Rotzain is Makifim. Keser is, like we talked about before, about surrounds all worlds. Keser is an all-encompassing power, which you really have no control over. That's why whenever he talks about the neshama, he only talks about nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Because the Beinoni only has control over nefesh, ruach, and neshama.
Mm.
Chaya, which is called the Makif HaKarav, which is the immediate soul, which is not contained in the body, corresponds to the person's will and desire. Yechida is the connection to the essence of the soul with the essence of Hashem. That for sure you have absolutely no control. And very rarely is it that a person gets to tap into that. It's usually at a time of Mesiras Nefesh that suddenly Yechida happens to appear.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Chaya is, what do you mean we don't control? You can't control it. Is either you like something or you don't like it. Either you want it or you don't want it.
Yeah.
You really have no control over it. You can train yourself using your intellect to find something which you liked disgusting. I talked about this with somebody, but militant former anti-smokers.
Yes.
Okay? You have these people who used to smoke.
Right.
And then they gave up smoking.
Right.
And now they have gotten so much away from smoking
that they're anti.
They are anti, and the smell of cigarette smoke disgusts them.
Right.
Okay? That's a kind of an idea of an expression of Hishabcha, which we'll talk about later in chapter 14, that it's possible for a person to do that. It's called, in Yiddish, is a good expression, reinreden sich, talk yourself into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Which it is possible for a person to do that, but generally...
Yes.
It's if you're going to do it,
not done.
You have to. The average person would have to do it with every single thing that he doesn't want to like, and just keep on talking to himself. I don't like it. I don't like it. I hate it. It's disgusting. It's abominable.
Right.
And eventually come to actually believe it. Okay. So the Alter Rebbe doesn't deal with that. The Alter Rebbe deals with tangibles. What you can deal with. So therefore, he focuses on Das.
Mm-hmm.
Which Das, he says, Das, hu melashon va'adam yada eschaper. Das is an expression of connection. As we see, the first time that the word Das appears in Tanakh is Adam knew Eve. And what happened when Adam knew Eve? He didn't just say, hello, how are you? Oh, I know you now. They had Cain and Abel.
Right.
Okay, that knowledge means connection.
Right.
So what Das does is really not something which you would call intellectual, but rather it makes the intellect relevant. You have.
It's an application.
Yeah. You had yesterday's Hayyim Yad. What was yesterday? Chaf. Today's Chaf?
Yeah.
Today's Chaf. So yesterday, Yitzchak.
No, today's Chaf.
Chaf Aleph. So yesterday, Chaf Tammuz. Yeah. Okay, so the Hayyim Yad talked about the different types of Hizbaininus, meditating before.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the steps in meditating before davening, meditating in the meditation process, is that you feel the godliness of the mimer that you learned and feel how you can apply it to yourself. That's really hard. But that is das. That's what our goal is. Now, can a person say, I have no das?
No.
You can't say, I have no das, because everybody has some.
Yeah.
I'll give you a for instance. 2 + 2 = 4. Who told you?
You can physically do it.
Yeah, okay. So much so, you ingrained with 2 + 2 = 4, right, that I could mathematically prove to you that 2 + 2 does not = 4.
Okay.
And I could do that very simple, because I think you're just a little bit older than me, but when I was in fifth grade, we had this stuff called new math.
Mm.
Did you miss the new math?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. So in new math, we were hit with these things called bases.
Mm-hmm.
We work in base 10, because we have 10 numbers, 0 to 9.
Right.
Okay, so now, if you're in base 3,
right,
where your only numbers are 0, 1, and 2,
right.
So 2 + 2, what you have is 2 + 2, so you're going to have a 1 in the 3 place,
right,
and a 1 in the units place.
Right.
So 2 + 2 = 11.
11, right, yeah.
Okay, so nobody who is alive in this world is going to look at two things in this column and two things in this column and say,
come up with
11.
Right.
Okay, they're going to say, oh, 4. Mm-hmm. Because that's what Das does.
Correct.
Das makes this thing part of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the connection,
right,
that you make. Okay, so now when we're talking about Elokus, what she's talking about, since the godly soul, the das of the nefesh Elokis, so what is it that a person has to do for das is they have to feel the connection to Elokus. They have to feel that this idea that they're talking about, they've had this idea and they've worked on it and they come to an understanding, like we talked about last time, how Hashem fills all worlds and encompasses all worlds, and how everything in front of Hashem is considered like nothing, which as far as intellectualism, we explained it very good. We spent, you know, close to 45 minutes explaining just that.
Mm.
Okay? And you can understand it, as the Alter Rebbe says, Ba'ashura al-Borav. It was full clarity, with straightforwardness. You got it. Okay? But all it is just information. Okay, and I'll give you a very good example of just learning information. 9th through 12th grade.
Indeed.
Just a whole bunch of information.
Indeed.
Okay.
Indeed. Yeah, lots of information.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, whatever you needed, we needed.
Yeah.
You know. I thought I'd learned
you
something.
You got everything you needed up to fifth grade.
Probably. You know, I thought by my senior year when I finally took auto shop that I finally had learned something that was going to have practical application.
Right.
I learned how to tune a car.
Right.
And then 4 years later, they got rid of points and condensers.
Exactly. Yes, everything became a computer, so you were out of luck. Yeah.
So everything, right. It really bolstered it right back down to zero.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so indeed. We don't want Torah study to be stuck in Bina. We don't just want it to make you that.
Right.
I'm learning this in order to be a smarter
file
person
cabinet,
to have, to have more pieces of information.
Right. I don't need to be a file cabinet.
Right, exactly. Right. So a person, you have different types of people who, when it comes to teaching, okay? Each one has their pluses. I'm not gonna say any of them are bad.
Okay.
Okay, you have a chacham.
Right.
Chacham is usually translated as a sage.
Yes.
Okay. What is a chacham? It says in Pirkei Avos, Ezehu chacham haraya es hanailed. Who is a chacham? Is a person who can see his birth. What does that mean? The literal translation of it is, you know what I'm talking about? Who is wise is he who can see his birth. That's what it says in Pirkei Avos. Don't ask me for a footnote. Sorry.
No, I'm thought I knew Pirkei Avos, but I can't recall him, so obviously I don't.
Okay. Anyway.
Go.
So.
Do you know which
I'm trying to think. It'll come to me through Marv when I'm trying to think about davening. That's
good.
When it'll.
Perfect. Yeah.
That's when it'll come into
just
my head.
Just about the time you're supposed to daven Shemona Esrei.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So. Who is a chacham? Is the person who sees his birth. The pshat is that a chacham is able to figure out the ramifications of his actions before he does them, and then decides on that basis, should I go about and do this? How am I going to feel? I have this teaspoon in my hand and this quart of ice cream in the freezer. Mm. How am I going to feel after I finish that quart of ice cream has been consumed? Since I'm going to feel really yucky, I'm not going to do that.
Right,
that would be called a chacham, according to the pshat. What are we talking about? Chacham Reyes and Nailid is a chacham is able to zoom into the essential point of the idea.
Okay.
To take away all of the different details and zero in and focus in, what is this idea? What is the point of this idea?
Yes.
That's a chacham.
The Rebbe
in many sichas would take an argument, say like an argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And there were many such arguments.
Sure.
And showed that, and people thought, well, Beis Hillel is more Mekel and Beis Shammai is more Machmir, and that would thus therefore be the point of their arguments. Is this one's Chesed, this one's Gvura, that must be the deal, right?
No.
But then you have a problem is you have many instances, I think it's 15, where Beis Shammai is lenient and Beis Hillel is Machmir. So you can kvetch and say, well, in that instance, it would be more kind to be machmor and more severe to be lenient. So the Rebbe said, no, it's too much of a gross geniality. Right. And said, so therefore, the answer must be something different, is that Beis Shammai is dealing in things which are actually here, and Beis Hillel are dealing in poel and things and kayach, and the way that it's going to be. Okay? So, zeroing in on that idea. And the Rebbe did this many, many times, many, many different instances.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a chacham, is a person who could boil the idea to its essential point. What's a maven? A maven is a person who's just going to quote you right out, zoom, facts. Boom, 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 boom. You'll ask him, what's this? And he'll give you 20 different things. Yeah. There's a...
That doesn't necessarily mean that doesn't...
A maven is referred to as an expert. That's the translation in English.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to discern that between the two, because he can give you a pile of facts, but he doesn't necessarily
can't boil it down to
have application.
Can't boil it down to what's the crux of the matter is.
I can give you 1,000 details, but
right.
I can't get.
There was the former chief rabbi of Montreal was a gentleman by the name of Rabbi Pinchas Hirschsprung. I don't know if you've ever heard the name. He was a person who was had a memory that was beyond photographic. He just saw things. I mean, it was like, okay, he was one of these people that you could put your finger on the cover of a book,
right,
and say, tell me right here what's on page 63.
Yeah.
And he would tell you what was on page 63.
Right.
Okay, I learned in Montreal for a short time, and I found a piece of Gemara, in one of an old Gemara that had fallen apart.
Mm.
Okay, it's a little tiny piece, it's probably about the size of a half a dollar.
Mm.
Okay, it had some writing, it had a couple of words of Gemara, and it had either what was a Rashi or a Tosafot, some little corner writings over there on one side, and the other side it had a little writing. So I went over and I showed it to him, and I said, could you tell me where this is from? And he said to me, are you testing me? I said, no, not at all. He said, I wanted, somewhere there's a Gemara which is missing this part And I want to find the Gemara. I want to tape it in. So this way, if someone's learning the Gemara, they shouldn't have to get up and go find another Gemara to see what the words that are missing. So he said, oh,
that was really good.
What a good bacher you are.
Yeah, what a
so he told me what page it was from what Gemara. So
perfect.
Okay.
Did you find the Gemara?
Oh, yeah, I went right away and took another... No, did I find the Gemara that it came from? No, I could care less. I just took it and put through in the back of the sitter. Anyway, so you're talking? I just wanted to see if you could do it. You know, I took one of those old Siddurim and threw it in the back in the pages that nobody looks in, like by a dumbass, one of those things. You know, so... Anyway, so...
I can only appreciate that too much.
Okay, so what happened is... I'm not very smart. I can tell you that right now. And I went and I asked him. I was learning Yeridaya there. We're learning Basa B'Chalav.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I went and I asked him a very technical, philosophical question on Basa B'Chalav. If you could think of that, there should be such a thing. I don't remember what the question was. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't answer me. All he could do was throw another piece of Gemara at me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about this one? I think, well, no, you're not, you're dancing around it. You know, I had to like keep on bringing it. What's the answer? He couldn't do it. He only knew it
right
across the top.
Right.
Okay, now, I'm not saying.
A thousand facts.
Yeah, I'm not saying this is very bad because the first time that he went to the Rebbe, this Penchas Hirschsprung, somebody brought him to the Rebbe. I think it was Rabbi Kramer Al Lashalom. And he had a personal audience with the Rebbe, and he was in with the Rebbe for an hour. And the Rebbe came out, the Rebbe's tie was like askew, and he told one of the secretaries, Baruch Hashem, there's somebody else in the world who can learn. So, I'm not going to say anything, his shiurim were almost impossible to follow. It's not impossible because he would go halfway through an idea, and he would remind himself about something, himself about 20 other things.
Right.
And then by the time the class was over, he'd be talking about. He started a class in Gittin, and he'd be talking about Carbonus someplace or something. You know. So anyway, that's what a maven is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's a Daitan? A Daitan is a person who, given just a little piece of information.
Mm.
Knows how to apply it and make it relevant. That's a daitan, to show how that is, how it's supposed to affect you.
Mm-hmm.
The Rebbe happened to have been all three. It was a very unusual mind to have three. People, at best, are one.
A daitan.
Yes.
Take a small individual piece of information and be able to apply it.
Know what to do with it. That's why at the end of every single sicha that I've ever said, okay, now I gave you a whole big idea, I expounded on a whole piece of whatever, and the last section of it, the last little piece of this sicha was always, and what are we going to do with this information?
Mm-hmm.
The Rebbe always ended off, and what are we going to do with this information?
So you're saying this individual would be someone who may only know one of 100 facts concerning a situation.
Correct.
But that one fact he could apply.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's das. That's what the Alter Rebbe wants to explain when he says that the word das is lashon his kashrus.
Mm-hmm.
Like a knot. V'hu lashon his kashrus his chabrus. It's like a kesher, a knot. When something is knotted together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there is, the word kesher implies a permanence. Like, for example, there is one of the Av Malachis on Shabbos is tying knots.
Mm.
Okay, but you're allowed to tie your shoes and you're allowed to tie a tie on Shabbos.
Mm.
Why?
Because neither are permanent.
They're not knots.
Right.
They're bows.
Whatever.
Okay, there's no permanence. A knot that we're talking about is being a knot.
It's permanent.
Has to have permanence.
Right.
It is never going to come out unless you exert the effort. You have to exert the effort to undo the knot.
It. Right. Yeah.
That's what das is. Is it becomes a person becomes a titan. Mm-hmm. And the same word hischavrus. The word hischaver, a chaver, chaver means a friend, but what's a chaver? It's like stuck to it,
bound up with it.
Yeah. Okay, like a chabur is a group.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Shemekasher daitai bekesher amitz v'chazak ma'oid. that he binds his mind with an awesome and a very strong knot. Okay, ametz is one of those ambiguous words. It's translated as courageous, like chazak ve'amas, be strong and be courageous. You know, but what's a courageous knot? Sorry, you know.
So, yes.
Yeah. So it's absolute permanent. Vayitka machshavtei b'chayzik. And he really sinks his mind with strength. This is how you get das. This is the process of bayit. Okay? You take an idea. Okay? Given a certain amount of facts, you get this idea. Mm. You work up all the facts. Yeah, I got it. I understand it. Mm. Okay? So now that the person says, okay, I understand it. Mm. Now what he does is now he puts it into fifth gear. Mm. And says, now let me think about this thing. Let me see the relevance of
it. Yeah, let me apply it.
Let me see how this affects me. Mm. Let me feel it. Okay, that 2 plus 2, you don't understand it. You do not understand that 2 and 2 is 4.
Correct.
Your four-year-old
understands
that 2 plus 2 is 4. You feel.
Yeah, you know it.
That 2 plus 2 equals 4.
Correct statement.
Okay. The Gedalus Ain't Say Baruch Hu. Now, what is it that he wants to do over here? Now, this is where it gets tough. We've been talking about before that what does a person have to meditate on is the greatness of Hashem, how he fills all the worlds and encompasses all the worlds and how all the worlds before him are nothing. So now, could you imagine a person sitting and concentrating and focusing so much that he really feels, you know what? I'm nothing. Well, he would have to have gone through the other two steps first. Because I don't even think that there is such a person who could actually really feel that they're nothing. But, okay, if a person's going to, any idea, a person can turn into das. If a person can understand it and go through some sort of an intellectual exercise, so then a person should be able to feel it as well. That's what he says in the Hayyamyang. He should at least feel the godliness of it. Okay, and that's what we're supposed to do when you're davening. What does a person? What does it mean davening ba'arichus? Davening ba'aveda. You know, these people are supposed to. You know, just you have three people that get done davening at 3 o'clock. You have the guy who starts at 2.
Indeed, yes.
Yeah. For whatever reason, you know, there is a minion in Crown Heights. It's an official minion that starts at 12 o'clock on Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon.
I don't want to know.
Okay? And they're done by 2.
He had time up to
okay,
practice.
Good.
My first thing. They're done, make a little for break.
They're done by 2. Okay?
Okay.
So they're done at 2 o'clock, you know? How long? Shabbos 2:30.
Okay.
Okay? Then you have people who start at 10 o'clock and they just dive in slow.
Right.
Okay? So they're diving, they're done by 2 o'clock. But then you have a person who dives about Veda. Okay? Veda means he's putting with toil.
Right.
Okay. That he feels that the words of davening are godly.
Right.
Okay. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
To be continued.